Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Is this the way they say the future's meant to feel, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. The North London Derby's upon us. Will Burnley ruin Liverpool's perfect start? And can Jack Grealish win another Premier League match?
There we are.
Well done.
Yeah, that was like a horse racing commentator. Yeah.
Anyone
more of that, please.
Anyone who's listening who English isn't their first language,
yeah,
they're going to be baffled.
Willkommen.
Yeah. They'll have unlearned the little they know.
Good and tough.
Let's unpick them.
Yeah.
Of course, we're going to Berlin doing a live show, aren't we?
Oh, yeah.
That's Union been added.
Berlin. Oh, by the way.
I was not consulted. I'm not allowed in that city.
That's why we're going there.
On the Autobahn.
Union Berlin Stadium, it's got... Oh, I'm going to have to look it up now. We're doing a show in Berlin in next year.
You can see the stadium tour.
See the details on RambleLive.com. Mm-hmm. But their stadium is incredible. There's a lot of bit to love about Union Berlin. Mm. One is that they've got a manually turned over scoreboard.
Right.
So a man sticks his head out and turns it over when there's a score.
Can you imagine if Pete operated that?
Well, I am imagining that. And secondly, the stadium translates to, the name of the stadium translates in English to Stadium by the Old Forester's House.
Lovely.
Nice. Ooh.
And their nickname is the Eisenmen, the Iron Men.
Come on.
Well, we've got to go on stage to Iron Man, surely.
We better 100%. Have a tour. We better be allowed a tour.
100%.
We're already, we're going there.
We are, it's part of the tour.
That's why we're talking about
it. Oh, stadium tour. I see what you meant there.
So if you want to come and see us in Berlin, flights are very cheap if you're based in the UK. You can fly out there.
Yeah.
RambleLive.com. It's in April next year.
We'll be taking the sausage train.
That's it. That's in Hamburg. It might not get us the right place.
Wow, it might go all the way to Berlin. Imagine that. How much do you love your sausages?
Every ground in Germany.
We'd be voluntarily sated by the time we got there.
Is there a sausage train HS2?
Should be.
I think it's... There's a lot of controversy over it. Right. Speaking of sad news.
Oh.
Bury.
Yeah.
Have ceased to exist.
Yeah.
Like, which seems kind of strange, doesn't it?
That's not technically true. They've been expelled from the league.
Okay, sorry, I should say.
But I mean,
I don't know what's going to happen subsequently,
Yeah, I mean, hopefully that they can pick up the pieces and carry on. A bit like what Glasgow Rangers did, which is odd to think.
Well, they have a weird connection. Do you remember, like, about 10 years ago, Rangers Newcore was going to take over Bury's fixture. They were going to take over Bury, and it was Bury, take over their league fixtures, and then play all of the home games at Ibrox.
Oh, I didn't know
this
that.
Was his plan, and Bury just went, no, you're all right.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I sort of think, probably would have been a better move than what they actually got given in the end,
We should show solidarity with Bury fans and say that, you know, they're in our thoughts, because it's a very, very sad thing to happen. And as a Portsmouth fan, Portsmouth came pretty close to that themselves, and I hope something good comes of this. And what I mean by that is that some kind of... I would like it to be an independent regulator comes
the bigger,
and says,
the bigger
this
picture.
Is how the game needs to be governed at Football League level. Yeah.
It's worrying, though. Sad. Every football fan, doesn't matter who you support, whether it's Manchester City or Hartlepool United, like Pete over there.
Well, they almost went the wall as
well. Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter who you support. Every single football fan should be concerned about that. Everybody, because it can happen to any club. And if you support Man City or Arsenal or one of the big boys, it can still happen. It's very unlikely, of course, in the current climate. But Bury, 1885, their history goes back to. They've won the FA Cup, many years ago. I think, what was the stat I saw today? The first side in all four sort of top divisions to get 1,000 league goals, something like that. It's a very proud club, but it can happen to anybody. This is really, really horrible news in terms of the footballing community.
Yeah. But do you not think it's like a problem with the Premier League as well? The way that
the
focus is on the Premier League, and obviously wages are absolutely inflated. Mm. You go down one step to a league that's not been watched quite so much, that's not been attended quite so well, that doesn't have a global reach and a marketing push like that. You can't have wages at 99% of your income. It's just untenable.
It's the opposite of trickle down economics, effectively, isn't it? It's just because the standard of wages gets skewed higher up, and that does sort of filter down in a negative sense. And also, teams are sort of busting the gut to get promoted. And I think I completely agree with Luke that there needs to be some sort of independent regulation put into this, because part of the problem is when Steve Dale bought the club for a pound, he never complied with the league's rules that mean the new owners have to show that they've got the money to sustain that club. The proof of funding thing that's been placed was just never used.
He didn't have to comply to it.
Well, they said there was special dispensation because it was such a precarious financial situation.
Right.
So they kind of circumvented their own poor regulated rules anyway to make an exception. Yeah, which is mad.
Surely that, you know, the rules are in there to stop this happening. So you shouldn't ignore that sort of safety net. It's
well, the fit and proper person test and all that. I mean, Chiellino sailed through it, didn't he?
We talked about this obviously on Monday. A few people came in and said, you know, you can't essentially prosecute people for the way they deal in business in terms of football clubs, despite how emotional it is. It just means that it opens up, you know, the mom and pop store down the road to prosecution because of difficulties financially. And I understand all that, but I would just argue that football clubs really should be a special case. They should be treated differently. I think it's the genie's out the bottle now, and it's not going to be very easy for it to happen, if it can happen at all. But they need to have some kind of charitable status and be run in this way.
It's not a traditional sort of business.
No.
And there was a nice line in one of the papers that said these indifferent, often asset-stripping owners are just passing through, not remotely aware of the pride of a football club like Barry Foster's in a town like this.
I think they are aware of it and they just don't care.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's shoddy behaviour, to say the least.
The guy at Bury said, I mean, I saw him on the radio. It was a clip that was posted online where he said, I want to get it off my hands. I'll never go back to Bury again. I'd never go there anywhere. I don't care. I'm not even a football fan, et cetera, et cetera. So he admitted that himself. So
what a brilliant bloke.
I know, right? So, yeah, it is really sad. I would recommend people read David Conn's take on it, The Guardian. He's predictably excellent on it. There's a good piece from Barney Rona in The Guardian today as well. And you're right, Marcus, it can happen to any club realistically. Of course it's going to happen to some clubs are much more likely for it to happen to them than others.
But look at Rangers, though.
Yeah.
I mean, it's extraordinary that I know it's different, and I know they bounce back immediately, although they had to go through the leagues and so on. But still, that's an example of it can happen to an enormous club as well.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll have some good news about Bolton in the coming weeks. Okay. Let's crack on with some Carabao Cup chat, because it was back this week, my goodness. Grimsby Town versus Macclesfield was called off just before after home due to ridiculous rainy conditions. Yeah,
it looked like steam.
It looked like the first of the blizzard shows that we do on a Saturday here on Ramble.
Yeah, the greatest games.
Yeah. The Red Star Milan.
James
they talked about the fog, where the fog kind of just would not lift at all. It just looked like that. It wasn't even about the condition of the pitch; it was about the condition of people's eyes. You couldn't see anything.
Yeah. Well, I think there was a lot of people who wanted to don Argentina and Peru shirts and quickly replay that Martin Palermo.
That was brilliant. You know, a lot of people. You go as far as to say a lot.
In my mind, it was a lot of people.
But it was
biblical.
The weather on that day. Yeah. I remember seeing something on the news. Obviously, we're down in London. This is further north. But I remember seeing something on the news saying that, you know, it's really hot, and so there'll be thunderstorms in the area, and beware of flash flooding. That's essentially what happened there, right?
Yeah. Well, Daryl McMahon, the manager, said it was very unreal. I've never seen anything like it, and I'm from Dublin.
I'll tell you what, Dublin is consistently, in my experience, some of the worst weather.
I love it, though. Like, it's a real kind of chat of you know... when you get people in Ireland and Britain saying, now that part of, you know, I'm reluctant to say British Isles, but it is technically all British Isles. I know Ireland's not in the UK, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, in different parts of the Isles, they get more rain than us. And it's a bit like the northern tip of the Sahara going, well, it's a bit too warm in the southern Sahara.
My mum talks about snow all the time. Like, oh, you haven't seen snow, son. Yeah. You haven't seen snow.
But when I go to New England in the US, there's a lot of weather, but it's quite interesting weather. It's either like minus 20 and there's 6 foot snowdrifts, which you can kind of find interest in, or it's really hot.
It's like a platform. It's like a video game platform. Yeah. There'll be a sea level. Yeah, there's always snow level.
Dublin's just straight drizzle.
Yeah,
constantly.
Yeah. Now we're reaching the end of days. I'm quite looking forward to like plagues of locusts and like raining frogs and
mix
stuff
it up,
like that.
Yeah.
I think we're going to get more interesting weather.
I'd love
weather,
a pet frog.
My prediction.
Indeed, yeah. Well, let's park the Carabao Cup for
a
moment.
Hang on a minute. Portsmouth, Southampton.
Eh?
Portsmouth. Yeah,
well, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Newcastle knocked out the first hurdle again.
Yeah, can we
for the third season in a row?
Well, let's get the North London derby out of the way, and then we can come back to the Carabao Cup.
Can I just say, I looked up the worst cup team in the country.
Yep.
Okay.
Can any of you name it statistically? Because the reason I did it is because you alluded to it yesterday on WhatsApp, saying you thought it was Newcastle. My friend Chris, aka Cockney Chris,
yes,
said he thinks it's QPR. It's neither of those two
teams. How far back are you going?
I think it's quite a way. I couldn't tell you exactly, but it'd be a long time. Like, statistically, in the amount of cup games lost, the worst win percentage record I think in the cup.
Well, surely it'd be someone in the lower leagues, wouldn't
it? I think Fulham have had actually quite a bad time in the cup.
So apparently, yeah, and you can shoot me down this all you like, and you can get at me personally on Discord if you pay $5 a month. I'll give them more respect. Yeah. It's Brentford, apparently.
Right. Oh, I was close geographically.
So was my mate Chris with QPR.
Yeah.
West London's all at it.
I was probably closer there.
Yeah. All right, Marcus. Well done, Marcus.
Thank you very much, everybody. Well, does that count towards going for global?
You don't get the points. Oh, okay. You don't get the points.
All right. Yeah, there we are. All right, then. Arsenal. They play Tottenham Hotspur. Both sides yet to convince this season. Jim, are you convinced? Or are you yet to be convinced, as I've just...
Green shoots? Can we use the phone? Green shoots?
Convinced is maybe a bit strong. It's early days, isn't it? Obviously, the Liverpool game was a difficult challenge that Arsenal fell short on. But I'm really excited about this one.
I am going.
It's a strange... it's an interesting time for both teams to play each other, because those changes to the squad are still settling in. And actually, I love this part of the season for that across the board, because you see a lot of teams who don't necessarily know their best team.
League title's not gone.
Exactly. You know, top four might still be on.
Do you think he'll go with... Because he didn't start Lacazette against Liverpool.
No.
Obviously started Pepe. Do you think he'll go with one or the other or both?
I think he'll play Aubameyang, Lacazette and Pepe.
That's very attacking.
Well, Ceballos just behind Lacazette?
Possibly, yeah. He is.
What, David Luiz on the pitch as well?
Yeah, exactly. Get David Luiz just behind Lacazette, yeah. because I think Emery has made moves with the changes he's made in the squad to be a little bit more positive, and I think at home in particular, he might want to experiment with that. And also, this is always a full-blooded game, so it's straight out of the blocks, very, very intense, very, very fast. So,
are you nervous for the game?
No more than usual, so yes. Massively.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you rightly said that Dani Ceballos obviously didn't play that well against Liverpool. Now, it's easier said than done.
It's understandable, yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, is this the type of game where if he doesn't sort of... I don't know. The problem is that phrase, early days, early days. But this is the type of game where you want Ceballos, from an Arsenal point of view, to put a real marker down.
Yeah, these are the type of games where reputations are burnished at clubs. And if he was to have an absolute world-class game here, despite doing nothing for the rest of the season, people would still remember him at Arsenal for obvious reasons.
Like Nicholas Bentner scoring against Spurs, you know. Quite. The fact that I could even pull that out of my mind.
Bentley got one as well, didn't he?
On the other side.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So
absolutely. Yeah.
But the fascinating narrative ahead of this game, I feel like, is based on what we talked about on Monday with Spurs, is that they're going to probably have gaps left for them to exploit. Because Arsenal will be at home. Arsenal have David Luiz in their team, who will interpret the role as he wishes.
Absolutely.
And the occasion as well.
Yeah, Arsenal will be expected to make a bit of the run-in. So how Spurs deal with that, it's a completely different challenge to what it was against Newcastle. So
you won't have 10 men behind the ball.
100%, and it's a lovely way to end the weekend, because I think it's Sunday, last game on Sunday, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Former Arsenal player, of course, Paul Merson, has already written off Spurs' title hopes for this season. What do you think of that? Is that a dig?
It's like the portents of the apocalypse, when it's death, famine, war. Yeah. Paul Merson.
Thoughts on the title.
Yeah. I think, yeah. I mean,
were they ever written on?
Are Spurs writing themselves on? I don't think they are. I think that's just an ex-Arsenal player.
I think there's still an acceptance that Liverpool and Man City are way
ahead. Very much they're going to be the chasing pack. There's a particular duel that I'm looking forward to in this game, because Spurs, as you allude to, have some problems at right back. There's a chance that Moussa Sissoko could fill in there. Mm. There's also a good chance that Nacho Monreal will have gone to Real Sociedad at that point. So we could have Sissoko versus Kolasinac.
Right.
Down one side, and that will be chaos.
Yeah.
I read that Oreo might play.
That will be chaos.
Who is one of the only human beings on the planet more rash than Kolasinac. Yeah. But last season, Arsenal beat Spurs 4-2 at Emirates.
Yes.
And it was obviously a great game. But was it the game where Jan Vertonghen completely lost his mind?
Yeah, he
got sent off late on, didn't he?
Did he give away I think he gave away a sort of key free kick, didn't he? Or something like that, is when he got sent off later on, yeah. He had a really sort of out-of-character game. But then derbies do that, don't they? They're so emotive that sometimes players don't play at their most measured.
I was surprised at Vertonghen at the time, because he's regardless of his relative merits, he seems in person like a bit of an Iceman.
I know what you mean. Mm. Yeah, we all have our moments, though, don't we?
Absolutely, of course we do. I don't know if he'll play. Oh, he probably will play, won't he, with Alderweireld? Yeah. Sanchez was a little bit lackluster against Newcastle.
Do you think Eriksen will play with all this stuff
going
around?
I think he'll pick him. I think he'll go. Listen, unless there's a lot of stuff happening that we don't know behind the scenes, which is entirely possible, I don't think Pochettino can afford to be too clever. I think he's got to play his best players.
Mm-hmm. Are we ready to go back to the Carabao Cup?
Yes, I'm confused as to why we left it in the first round.
I just felt it was getting a little bit too intense. Okay. Ease off, and then
it's what the competition is known for: spice, heat,
intensity,
energy. Yeah.
Well, Southampton host Manchester United on the weekend. Southampton they beat Fulham in the cup away. Good win for them.
Why we're coming back.
Yeah. No, it was a lot.
Hang on a minute, I'll check the possession stats. Give me a moment.
If you could. That is the stat that really they care about down at Craven Cottage. Give me some good news, brother.
They lost 1-0 at home to Southampton in the cup.
They did,
They had 59.7% possession.
Fulham did.
Against a Premier League team. That's against a Premier League team.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Southampton playing Portsmouth in the next round.
Yeah, I'm pleased it's at Fratton Park.
Yeah.
I think it'll be... gives Portsmouth a good chance. They had a good win last night. I mean, they had a good win against a team that knocked them out of the FA Cup last season, of course. And I think it was a replay. I was at the Loftus Road game. It's one of the worst football matches I've ever been to. QPR knocked Portsmouth out fairly easily. So it's good to get one back over on them, the slugs. and Southampton will be next. It's the first time
you never call them Southampton off, Mike.
Yeah, shut up. it's the first time I think we've played them in the situation where they are much better than us, if you know what I mean, for a long while. So it'll be interesting.
Again, talking about Portsmouth as us and Southampton as them.
Oh, it's so rare.
Here we go.
Well, see the skit hit appear.
Well done for not using the word scummers.
A couple of my Southampton supporting friends have already been on the old WhatsApp.
Have they?
Yeah.
Some spicy language? Some Carabao Cup level language?
A little bit of indoor language, Pete.
Well, Southampton, they were beaten by Burnley on the opening day, of course, 3-0. They lost 2-1 at home to Liverpool, which is an improved performance. And, you know, they had a chance to get a late equaliser there. But last weekend, they won 2-0 at Brighton. Brighton were down to 10 men, but still they got to be put away.
I don't think Southampton have been that bad. I think the 3-0 Burnley result looked worse than it was.
It was a mid-innings collapse, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. Liverpool is Liverpool, and Brighton, they won the game. So I think they've been okay. Do I think they can go to...
Oh, is it at home?
Yeah, do I think they can go to St Mary's and beat Man United? Yes, I do, actually.
Yeah.
Because Man United are not very good.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was a great point that James Horncastle made on the Continent yesterday, said he's talking about Lukaku going to Inter and Sanchez going to Inter and why that's going to work.
And Chris Smalling going to Roma.
Well, there's talk of that as well, of course. But Lukaku, of course, scored on his debut. Mm-hmm. And James said, and it's a point I've not heard made very broadly on any real football podcast, which is that Man United is much more than you think is a place where good players recently have gone to die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, Sanchez, Lukaku, Di Maria.
Mm-hmm. Is it fair to say Lukaku died there, though?
I think
he had a couple of good times, but he wasn't a failure.
Yeah. Well, none of them literally died. It's a metaphor.
You know, I think Jim was suggesting.
Fair enough. Maybe we're colouring his time there by the last few months where it became quite unsavoury. But not only Di Maria as well, Blind as well, who went on to play for Ajax.
He had such hope.
They got to the semi-final. Anyway, you can hear it on the Continent. It was out yesterday, so people can listen to him making it much more eloquently than me. And I do think, because there's been some positive news around United because of the signings they've made, as I said on Monday, it's being forgotten about. They're not that good. I mean, their record over the last 15 games or so is appalling.
We said this on Monday.
Do you feel like it is being forgotten about? Because there was a lot of criticism.
I will not let it be forgotten about.
Yeah, you've forgotten about it since Monday. Yeah.
Southampton have not beaten Manchester United on home turf for 16 years. Now, if there was ever going to be a year that they were going to do it, they always seem to score at home, certainly in the last season. And they play quite well against Liverpool.
I fancy
a home
win
here.
6-3? Remember those days at Adele?
Yes.
Now that, but what do you
think? Well, I'll throw it back at you then, Marcus. Yeah. What do you think it would mean? Well, to all of you, what do you think it would mean if Southampton were to win against Man United? And say they win convincingly. What does that mean for Solskjaer?
Nil pois.
Well, I feel that it actually, well, as Pete says, actually, it's more of the same, because Man United, to me, 3 games into the season after that Palace result, they seem beleaguered. You know, and that's exactly what they need to get away from, the image and the feeling around the club that they need to get away from the end of last season. So they really need a convincing win here.
Well, I think that they're desperate to get back to what they know as Manchester United, which of course was under Ferguson. Those days are long gone. They know that. But I think this is a false dawn. And the 4-0 win against Chelsea could have been a different score on a different day, but fair enough. 4-0 is impressive, and it's still Chelsea. Yeah. They're still a decent side. But going into this game, it wouldn't shock you at all if Manchester United didn't win. That's where they are at the moment, going away to Southampton. And you put in Arsenal and Spurs, say, two teams that I think most people, including Paul Merson, have written off for the title. You still expect Arsenal or Spurs to go there and win. You'd expect Wolves to probably go there and win. And Manchester United, yeah, there's a slight expectation, but I don't know. I think if they lose this game, the pressure starts mounting. And Solskjaer's good fortune, or good feeling that he's rightly had, and of course they had a wonderful start under him, it just goes back to that decision to give him the job full time and blah-de-blah-de-blah. And they've tried to paper over the crack, and I just don't think that this is what they're after.
I think we're at the point now, though, where with every point dropped, that's going to be the narrative, isn't it? Because of the way that they collapsed so much last season.
Yeah. I think the worse they get, the better that Chelsea... the worse for Frank Lampard, that 4-0 is going to look at the start of the season. Like,
lost 4-0?
It was on the score sheet, 10 years from now, it was Man United. But then you're like, not that Man United.
Yeah. It's kind of like going to see a very late on Velvet Underground, where all the members have left. It's just Doug Yule. He's somehow got rights to the name.
And some of the Wu-Tang Clan members that you don't really hear about. Yeah. Well, they're there as well.
They're in the Velvet Underground for some reason.
And some of the non... There's two UB40s now, isn't there?
Really?
You see that a lot. Jeff Lindsay, hello.
Yeah. Well, Roger Waters of Pink Floyd said that the biggest humbling in his career was when he separated from Pink Floyd and Dave Gilmour carried on with the Pink Floyd name. And through some sort of quirk of stadium bookings in terms of their tours, they were both, I think, in Cleveland, and Roger Waters was playing like a 10,000 venue as Roger Waters.
Yeah.
But at the same time, in the same city, just down the road, David Gilmour's Pink Floyd were playing like 80,000 at a big stadium. And between the songs, you could hear Dave Gilmour doing the song.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's terrible.
So that's kind of a bit like Man United now.
Yeah.
Noel Gallagher sells more. Liam Gallagher sells more records than Noel Gallagher. Yeah. I'll try to get me around that every now and again.
But Marcus, we haven't got time for this now.
I just wanted to say we're back, kids. Sorry about that.
Velvet Underground, Pink Floyd, Wu-Tang Clan. Indeed. Stick around, teenagers.
But keep Marcus Rashford on penalties, though.
Yeah. It was a good goal. That last penalty was amazing, to be fair. Uh-huh. It was the best penalty that didn't go in I've seen in ages.
Yeah, indeed. Hopefully Moussa Dzeneppo, though, will have a lovely old time for Southampton's sake. Scored a great one against Brighton, of course.
And isn't everyone saying he's a great lad? He's a great laugh.
He is.
He's a great
enjoyable name. He was described as a bubbly character, which is...
When he left Liège, did he come from Stanley Liège?
I think so.
When he left, everyone was like, I love that guy.
A fun and bubbly character, Nathan Redmond described him as. There we are.
Nathan Redmond picked up an injury last night, I think.
That's a shame.
Yeah.
Pep Guardiola will be on the phone screaming at him about that.
What are you getting injured for?
Not for me, I like it.
All right, it's time for emails with PDD.
Right, I'm stopping that now because I know some of you fast forward. So I'm going to wait 3 seconds for those of you who fast forward so you can hear it all. All right, there you go. And we're back in the room. Never catch me sleeping.
No.
Tom Hilliard. Hi there, the mighty and ever-expanding Ramble team, which I think we should always be addressed.
That's our waistline. Yeah.
As soon as I heard Luke's description of a googly, I knew he'd be in for a busy week on social media and email channels. Look, if you can diversify,
Tom,
you've got to take the hits.
Tom,
right?
You'd be pleased to know I have had a very busy week.
But then I thought, what if I'm wrong and he gets away with it? Alas, that's why I'm wading in.
Right.
Never stopped anyone in our email box ever. So more specifically, a googly is the wrong un delivered by a leg spinner, i.e. it comes in at the right-handed batsman rather than spinning away. On the other hand, a doozra is the wrong un delivered by an off-spinner spinning... It's all very boring.
Yeah.
But either way, the doozra is always a little bit controversial, even frowned upon because it is very tricky to bowl without throwing the ball. Of course, not allowed when bowling. Can someone
game.
Tell me why throwing a ball is not allowed? As in, like, it's got to hit the floor first?
No, the laws of cricket, and I hope you'll get this one right, the arm, when it's delivered, the arm has to be straight.
So what's the throwing? As in, like...
If you've got your elbows bent, it looks like it's
you're throwing it.
It's not a bowl, it's a throw.
Which is not allowed.
It seems like very small margins for me, guys.
Well,
dear Ramble, Matt has just come in with the same stuff.
I think we can take this as real.
And Steve.
I apologise to all the cricket-loving listeners to the Football Ramble.
Matt says, hi, Pete and fellow Ramblers. I turn on the Ramble every day to get away from other lesser sports, especially cricket. Either start a side show or keep your chat to football only. Nobody wants to hear about the cricket. Thanks, Matt from Sydney, Australia. Hello.
Playing with a straight bat there, Matt.
Hello
like
from Ian Cross. After you mentioned Hamilton getting sent off for Hamilton, I thought you'd let you know that the brothers Tony and Russell Dingwall, who both play for Ross County, from the town of Dingwall.
Okay.
Russell is currently on loan, but still, they were both in the team at the same time once.
Keep those coming in, because a lot of people have missed the obvious one, which is that Everton sits proudly in the town of Calvert-Lewin.
Hello to, who have we got here? Nick, dear Ramble, listening to the chat about Keith and Keith's Hamilton. Keith and Keith at Hamilton and Hamilton are being sent off at Hamilton. I'm breaking down control, delete. Made me think of my hometown club, Potenza, in the third tier in Italy. No, we don't have a player called Potenza. We have something even better, a player called Matera. You see, Matera is a neighbouring city and a perennial regional rival. Potenza ultras are often heard chanting Matera murder, Matera shit. During home games, regardless of who we're playing, imagine how awkward and distracting this must be for poor Antonio Matera.
Stop singing it.
Upsetting.
There was a time, this is slightly different, but there was a time where Spurs had a young Portuguese defender who was called Defendi, and despite my allegiances, I am slightly disappointed he didn't go on to be the greatest defender that's ever lived.
But remember, wasn't there a player called Mark de Man?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Dutch
yeah, that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Is that true?
I think it is, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I'll look him up now.
Sounds like a sketch. David Rosenberg has quickly got in touch. I've supported Bury FC all my life, and on this dark day for the club, please spare a thought for my old man, who may go down as the world's unluckiest supporter. My dad, Ivor, was born in Glasgow in 1946 and supported Third Lanark as a child. He continued to support them until he was 21 years old, when in 1967 they went out of business due to mismanagement. Third Lanark were a team in the top flight in Scotland for many years. Their biggest honours were winning the league in 1903 and 1904. and won the Scottish Cup twice in 1889 and 1905. So, not a minor club up in Scotland. He moved to Manchester a few years later. He tells me that he went to a lot of Man United and City games, but he didn't find an affinity with either club. He did, however, find something at Gig Lane, which reignited his love for a team. He became a Shaker in the early 70s and supported them ever since.
That's really
goes
sad.
Down. The world's most unluckiest football supporter,
Support Spurs.
Brilliant.
Dude, that is outrageous.
Never goes to... not sure where we go from here. My best hope is that we form an AFC Bury and make our way back up to the pyramid, but my dad is taking money from anyone who doesn't want him to support their club. Which is quite nice. Thank you, David Rosenberg. If you want to get in touch with the show, well, you know where to go.
Press the button. Do.
All right then. Yeah, doing that little fast forwardy thing, are we? Yeah, so you want to miss the email?
Are we
back
the only
in?
Show that like actively hates our listeners?
Yes.
Now it's time for a break. I tried. You email show at footballrambledaily.com.
And now Pete is reading it out. Well done. Break.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody.
Mark de Man played for Anderlecht and was capped 5 times for the Belgian national team. Mm. His middle name was Julia.
Ooh. Okay.
Cool. Julia. Interesting. Nice.
Yeah, wasn't there a footballer called Brian Penis?
Yeah. play for Penis Town.
Play for Devo Wanker.
Guys, from Mark de Man to support de Ramble.
Oh, yeah.
Patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Basically, a situation where you can get involved a little bit closer, get up close and personal with the Ramble Boys. We've got a Discord. We've got your chance to introduce an episode of Football Ramble Daily. We've got the opportunity to get your WhatsApp messages on the phone, and you can even have a little Q&A with yours truly, or even a ramble meets with Luke Moore, depending on what tier you want to choose. Mm. It's patreon.com/footballrambledaily. Get involved. We love you, and we want to love you that little bit more.
On the Discord, it's only available for just $5 a month.
It's going off like a frog in a sock, Luke.
It's a great Spotify playlist now as well, with a different theme every week.
Really, oh, nice.
I am very much enjoying a user called Jolly the Neutral, who can make literally any conversation about Ashley Barnes. It's doing a fine job.
But don't let that put you off.
Right. Jim, I'm so glad you said that, because we're going to talk about Burnley versus Liverpool now. Can Liverpool keep up their perfect record when they go to Turf Moor?
Bit of advice for Klopp last time he played this fixture, which nearly derailed the title shot. He rested Firmino, Salah and Mane. I suggest he doesn't do that this time and maybe goes full strength. Or possibly think about fielding 2 of each.
Yes, 2 of each.
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, of course, they nearly thwarted Manchester City, but it was a goal line technology decision, was it? Mm. That Aguero just got the ball over the line.
Yeah, that's right.
As we know, Burnley is a tough place to go.
Yeah. It is, though, isn't it?
It is, Jim. It is. They got a poor result last night, though, losing 3-1 at home to Sunderland. So maybe it's not that tough.
Yeah. So are you saying Liverpool can learn from Sunderland?
I'm saying, yeah, quite oddly.
We can all learn from Sunderland.
It's a bit of a strange result, but that's the Carabao Cup. You just can't take your eyes off it.
If you want insight, this was also, I was also made aware of this on our Discord. It's all popping off, as Pete says. Frog in a sock. Sean Dyche was at Reading Festival.
Yeah.
Apparently his favourite artists were 21 Pilots and Post Malone.
Yeah, he said...
Everything gets second to the benzo.
He said... Which one's that?
Post Malone.
Okay.
So what are they? I've got
a bit of a frisson with Post Malone's work.
Have you?
He is one of the tattooed-faced rappers.
Yeah.
SoundCloud rap. Mumble, is it Mumble Rap?
Ten years ago, I probably would have been in a ska punk band.
No. Well, I thought Sean Dyche, I would have put him down as... It's more like a heavy metal type of
thing. Same, 100%.
Do you reckon? Well, I guess Reading is historically a heavy metal festival, but like, what I like about 21 Pilots is he's certainly used to the lead singer. He used to dip his hands and neck in ink. Mm. So I'm thinking that would be a pretty good look for Sean Dyche.
Sean Dyche.
Get rid of some of the jowls.
Sean Dyche should sing death metal.
Well, I think he has been.
Yeah, okay.
That's why he's great at it. Like
yeah, maybe that. You know, maybe he's always at music festivals singing along, and that's why he sounds like that. He said Post Malone was different class. I love that he can't turn off the sort of Football Manager speak.
Yeah,
I see him as being a bit of a fan of new wave of British heavy metal stuff.
Like Iron Maiden and that sort of thing.
Yeah, Diamond Head, Iron Maiden, those kind of guys.
Maybe we're stereotyping him too much.
Maybe.
Leave Sean alone.
He's not said he doesn't like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, let's wait to hear from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Saxon. Bit of Saxon. I see him enjoying a bit of Saxon.
I just imagine his like exit.
Saxon Dash.
His exit interview doing a lot of Post Malone lyrics.
Yeah. Dropping him in.
You probably think that you were better now. Better now. That's how he sings.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
So is Post Malone a rapper or a singer?
He's a rapper, but he does a bit of singing.
Okay.
He's a singer.
Bit of a plan B. Bit of a plan B.
He's very good, but I don't ever admit that I like him.
Well,
you just have on the largest platform possible.
Shit. Imagine me having access to a platform. Wow.
I often vote against it. But I think Burnley are going to finish in the top half this season. I think they look really good.
Don't I?
Yeah. That does include 10th position, by the way.
It does. Honestly, it's not as big as Yandros Townsend 5 goals, but we're taking it anyway.
Oh, Andros missed a pen, didn't he?
He did miss a pen.
Have we re-upped on that?
Have we re-upped? Are we going for a 6 or a 7 this season?
Yeah, why not?
Season?
Hey, why
all right,
not?
Do you want to re-up?
What are you saying?
What are you saying, 6 or 7?
6. 6,
how
obviously.
How Palace are playing?
Yeah.
So right. you're saying, just to make it absolutely clear for everyone listening at home, Townsend to score 6 or more Premier League goals.
Yeah.
Or goals in all compos.
And bearing in
mind... Premier League goals. He scored 5 last season.
Okay, let's up it one.
Okay.
Bearing in mind, I won last season. That was obviously the meaningful one.
I think you're
this is just like a Harlem Globetrotters tour now. So if I don't win, then I don't care.
Well, one thing he's got in his favour...
competitions.
Just
Premier League. One thing he's got in his favour, he does play a lot of games for Palace.
A lot of games.
Well, this is why I think all competitions are a bit more interesting.
Well, I'm not having that.
No, but he's saying no.
Let's move on.
What's the?
Look, we're going to talk about Palace in a minute.
Well, yeah. I just want to know what the forfeit is.
Same as last time.
What was last time?
Whoever loses has to quit the podcast.
Yes, it's an I Quit wrestling match.
I've
got to chop his hair off.
It's the same as it was last.
I'm going to unmask Marcus.
Pete hands over an enormous amount of cash.
Yeah.
Which I'm still waiting for.
Yay.
But Burnley, I think they look pretty good. They were unlucky not to win against Wolves. Obviously, it was a late penalty. They were slightly under siege at the end, but you'd expect that, of course. But I think they look impressive. And with the aforementioned grime artist, Ashley Barnes, up front for them.
Yeah. They haven't won since the opening day of the season.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Trying to dampen my mood here. So they won on the opening day.
Yeah.
They went away to Arsenal and lost.
Yeah.
And then the Wolves game, which I was saying they were
and they lost at home to Sunderland last night.
Mm. Yeah.
But I mean, there was rotation there, right?
Well, bloody
I fancy them. From what I've seen, I fancy them to finish maybe 9th or 10th.
Would you say that this is Liverpool's sternest test yet? I probably would be saying that, I reckon.
What,
the way that Burnley are playing.
I played Arsenal last week.
I'll put it out there.
I know what I said.
I'll put it out there. I bloody love Burnley to beat Liverpool just because it would be interesting for the league.
I think we're at a point now where City and Liverpool are so good, but either of them dropping points at this stage makes it interesting.
I still want to see Liverpool win the league, obviously.
But the danger is we see somebody just racing ahead with like 15-point lead.
Yeah,
like
we don't want that. We don't want that. No, thank you very much.
No, I think Burnley are playing with a little bit of verve, and they know what they're doing defensively. And I think
you're into them, aren't you?
Yeah, I am.
You're in for it. You're
all
for
it. Yeah.
Could you flourish in the Sean Dyche 4-4-2?
Oh, big time.
Yeah. You and Barnes up front, jostling.
I'd flourish in most positions, I think.
I don't agree with that. But I can see you forming a good partnership with Ashley Barnes.
Very much so.
He's got a good cop, bad cop.
Sexy cop.
No, he's not that sexy.
I think he is. Surprised he was turned down for Austrian citizenship.
Yeah, I am too.
Bit of a shame, but there we are.
In a post-Brexit world, he'll regret that.
But they won't. Okay, let's move on to Palace versus Villa. Villa gubbed Crewe 6-1 in the cup. Crewe manager Dave Artwell was rather honest afterwards, saying, "We played well in patches, soft as crap in others." One of the quotes.
You can feel his frustration
so
because I think if you get drawn against a Premier League team and your Crewe, you need to be right up there at it, top of your game, physical, all that kind of cliched stuff.
Yeah.
And if he feels like they're not even doing that, I can imagine him being very frustrated.
I tell you what though, if you're a Villa fan, back to winning ways, aren't they?
Yeah.
Jack Grealish was very relieved to get his first win in, was it 20 games or something like that in the Premier League?
It wasn't just his first win. I think they had lost that many games in a row.
Blimey.
Wow. Yeah.
But it was huge, though, it was last week, of course, at Villa Park. And it's funny because Aston Villa, the Villa Park is a stadium where when it's pumping, it's pumping. I think one of their former players may well have been Stan Collymore, although I tend not to want to quote him on the show, but... he was at the Holt End at Villa Park, and he said that like it was up there for Anfield when it's kind of going.
Mate, Holt End back in the day was in terms of capacity, was it the biggest single tier stand around?
Yeah,
it's an amazing place to watch football.
It's,
Villa Park,
it's got history certainly, and when it's going as you say. But Villa Park can also be one of the stadiums where if it's not going right, there's quite a few empty seats. If you compare it to maybe say one or two other teams as well who've been a bit up and down, but. You know, there's kind of the traditionalist or the romantic in you. You want to see a Villa Park full and bouncing and so on. Birmingham City fans, of course, won't agree, and I don't expect them to. But it was really good to see them back in the Prem and winning. And what was the guy's name at that front? Wesley.
Yeah.
Impressed.
Scored a nice goal.
He looks decent. He looks physically strong. He finished well. And you think there's a forward that perhaps they'll be able to hang their hats on this season. If you've got the likes of Grealish as well playing off.
McGinn as well.
Don't forget old McGinn. So I think, I don't know, Villa going into this game, you get that first win, the pressure's off slightly. I think we might see them
How do you think they'll approach it, though? Because you're going away to Crystal Palace, you're expecting them to be a team, excuse me, who are going to rival you in terms of league position this season, you want to guard against relegation. Do they go for it and think, you know what, we can be better than them? Or do they think Crystal Palace are this really well-drilled, decent, kind of organised team who, as you said last show on Monday, are very, very sort of safe and secure in the jobs they do. And you don't want to give them any opportunity by leaving yourself too open. It's quite a difficult game to know how to approach.
It is, but I think this is the type of game with, if you're Aston Villa, it's kind of like, you know, I generally think that any point on the road, especially for a newly promoted side, is a decent point. And these are the types of games where you think, right, you got your first win, make your home a fortress, but go away. And if it's the game's not going for you, express just yourself. Go with it. Yeah, well, as well, if there's a moment, but if it's not, don't try and maybe force it because you are playing against a side who they may not be one of the best teams in the league, but they've been in the league for a while now. And if Zaha's back and feels like he is still a Palace player and all that, he can hurt you on the break. We saw what happened against Manchester United. So take it, relax into it. You're a Premier League club. Behave like a Premier League club, if you see what I mean.
Yeah. And don't just kind of play...
don't force the issue.
I mean, look at Scott. They're going to be calling a couple of guys, a player like Scott Dan, who wins everything in
the
air.
Well, maybe Gary Cahill as well.
And Cahill as well. Yeah, again, they're both very, very good in the air. So to don't play that kind of Route 1 nonsense football that people will accuse you of playing because this is a game that you could potentially win and win quite handsomly.
Yeah, I don't think Villa won't play like that, though, will they?
No.
They're going to stick to their guns. I mean, I think it's only sort of for half an hour or so at Spurs. They changed it a little bit. But
absolutely.
I think it's an interesting game purely because both teams will go, do you know what? When the fixture list come out, that's a game we've got to go and win.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's time for Betway's Fourth to score,
everyone.
Here
we go.
Chance to win a huge prize for charity on our side, but on your side as a listener, you've got a chance to win some decent cash. The prize is still £250,000. If you're new to this, I'll give you a very, very, very quick précis of how it works. It's free to enter. You just pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches this weekend. If you're correct, like I say, you can win £250,000. You head to betway.com/4 to score. That's the number 4 and then to score. And of course, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. There are four games. There are four of us in here, so we choose a game each. Jim, you're up first. You've got West Ham v Norwich on Saturday at 3. Tell us your selection and a little bit of a rationale behind it.
So I've gone for Sebastian Haller because I figure West Ham are at home and this is their first home game of the season that isn't against Man City. I thought about going for Timu Pukki and I think there's a good chance that he will score, but I think West Ham's home advantage makes him a bit more likely to score first. So I've gone for him because he looked very sharp.
All right, great.
Recently.
Good stuff. Watford.
Liverpool, they concede goals.
Well, your game's Burnley-Liverpool.
Sorry, Liverpool, they concede goals. I go for Chris Wood because obviously
left-field shout.
The focus is all going to be on his striking partner. They're going to be defending
his
heck out of him.
Partner.
Yeah. Say again.
His striking partner, his striking not Liverpool's forward line.
No, I mean, in the defensive back line of Liverpool, they are going to be concentrating on his striking partner. All right,
Ashley Barnes, Jim. It's Ashley Barnes.
All right, let's see. Between Sebastian Haller and Chris Wood, let's have our own little shall we? Okay, right. So I think Chris Wood is going to get off the mark.
Do you want to know who the first goal scorer was in this fixture last season?
Who was it?
It was actually Burnley's Jack Cork.
Ooh, Corkers.
But I think that I like what you've done there, Pete, because...
Yeah, I've thought about it.
Because when we go through all these, you always think... And you know, and we'll come on to mine in a minute, but you think the obvious scorer for the better side. It just never works out like that. As I found out last week when I went for Harry Kane, and of course, Spurs didn't even score. It was Joel Linton.
My game is Everton v Wolves, which is on Sunday at 2 o'clock. It's also live on Sky Sports.
Best of the rest.
I've gone for Raul Jimenez, purely because he's obviously a decent player, but Everton have started to concede goals. We went into the last weekend and they hadn't conceded a goal at that point, and of course, they went down 2-0 to Villa. They also conceded a couple against Lincoln last night. So I think Jimenez might be the one to open the score in there.
Tell you what, mate.
He's Marcus, off the mark as well, isn't he?
Exactly. Marcus, you've got the big one.
Before you go on, I mean, if Everton get a free kick, it could be Lucas Digne who opens the score in.
Walter Peach.
He's a good player.
Arsenal Spurs. I've gone for Pierre Aubameyang.
Not giving him his middle name.
Yeah, leaving a pause there.
Fill in your own middle name. Joseph.
Yeah, I've gone for Aubameyang. The reason for that is because I'm not sure. I think Arsenal will score first. And I'm not sure if Lacazette or Pepe, I think that he might start both. But the one man he will start is Aubameyang. So I thought I'll go a little bit safer there.
Sound logic.
Yes. So, but I do think Arsenal will score first. And I thought, well, why not pick the goal man himself?
Mm. Last week, I think I'm right in saying Mark Noble absolutely killed it for everyone playing. he scored first in the West Ham's game against Watford, and only 0.6% of players had him. So no one yet again won it. So the prize is 250,000. Our selections across Betway's four to score this week are Sebastian, Chris, Raoul and Pierre. do your bit yourself, betway.com/four to score, and make sure you bet the responsible way. Good luck.
And now it's time for Going for Goals.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. Cause people are coming, everyone's trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
gold.
Oh. Don't throw things.
Peter, not in the studio, thank you.
Not in the studio. I've already covered Luke in water.
Come along.
Yeah.
You're always gagging for the win, aren't you?
That's the first Paxman of the season.
That is the first Paxman. Come on, I want my chance.
Yeah, by the way, that's not even a modern reference anymore. He's never on TV for like 3 years.
But I am on a hat-trick. That is a very modern, up-to-date reference.
Jim, so we had a situation on Going for Gold the first week of the season when you're off.
Jim knows.
Where we were desperate to get a win because you weren't here. And I had run out of guesses, but I knew who it was. Mm. So I gave it
very
to Marcus.
Kindly.
It was Stan Lazaridis.
It's a fine assist.
I gave it to Marcus and said, look, it's Stan Lazaridis, say it. And he went, stop, Stan Lazaridis.
Yeah.
Ever since, he's been claiming it as a win, and now he's on a hat-trick because of it.
Right.
It's like the SOS.
So if you're wondering if he's changed through the summer, the answer is no, he hasn't.
I would remind everyone as well that Marcus did win last
Thank you very much,
season.
Jim. Thank you.
Yeah. So
you know, don't need to remind us, because another man in the room will.
I'd actually forgotten that. I'll talk about this season, but thank you, Jim.
Ashley, let's come up with a close on this one. Thank you very much to Ashley. If you would like to get involved and chuck us a few clues pertaining to a mystery footballer, it's glold@footballrambledaily.com. Born 22nd of January, 1977.
Tough one.
Tough one.
Was last week's Raul Morelos?
Yeah.
That was particularly tough.
It probably won't be this week.
No. Stop. Raul Morelos.
Stop. João Pinto.
Incorrect.
Yeah, when we're going for British.
Stop. Vitor Baia.
Incorrect. I made 77 appearances for my country, scoring 11 goals.
Wow.
Hmm.
Not too shabba-dabba-doo.
No, not too bad.
Can you repeat that one?
I made 77 appearances for my country, scoring 11 goals.
Stop. Emil Heskey.
Incorrect.
Stop. John Aldridge.
Incorrect.
John Aldridge is not 41.
41. 42.
77. Hang on, 70. Or 42, possibly. 77.
Mm.
Yeah, John Aldridge.
Oh, yeah, no. January.
Yeah, no. I've added a decade in my head there.
I joined Bolton on loan and scored one goal in which would have been my last season of football.
JJ Okocha.
Incorrect.
I think I know who it
so
is.
So do I, but I can't reach his name.
I've got two other candidates, so hurry up, carry on. Yeah.
Really?
Stop. Wow. Can I have a stop with there?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Yuri Djurkaev.
Incorrect.
That was one of mine.
Yeah,
good.
No, it wasn't the one I was thinking, but I thought I'll have a stab.
You all right, Jim?
I can't think
pregnant.
Of his name. Yeah, I do, but that's not related to the game.
carry on.
Carry on,
chip
yeah.
Is it our chip shop? Is it our collective chip shop? One of my biggest career highlights was scoring a 30-yard screamer.
Stop.
And
stop.
Jim's there.
Mario Jardel?
Incorrect.
Ivan Campo?
Incorrect.
Ah, for goodness sake.
Max is keeping his powder dry for the end of his clue. One of my biggest career highlights was scoring a 30-yard screamer and assisting another goal against Juventus, which helped see Roma sit 6 points clear at the top of the table. In the same year, we went on to win Serie A.
Boop, 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 boop. So he played for Roma and Bolton. It was that period of time. It was that period of time, Marcus, when Big Sam was signing all these players.
Yeah, it must be.
And we've done all the headlines, haven't we?
Yeah.
Hang on, that's not the last clue, is it?
No.
Oh, I was going to say. Sorry.
Did I have a go?
You've already had a go. This clue. Yeah.
You sure?
Yeah, you have.
What were you going to say?
We both
Jim?
Stopped on the same clue.
Jim, right. What were you going to say?
Yeah. Move on. If Marcus hasn't got one, you've got to move on.
Sorry.
During the 1998 World Cup, I dyed my hair blonde so I'd stick out to the scouts. Stick out to the scouts.
See, I thought Romanian there, but they all did it.
They all did it.
They all did it.
should be fairly easy to get. That Roma team is quite famous because they obviously Roma hardly ever win the league.
Yeah.
And it was the team with
well, obviously
Montella, Del Vecchio,
yeah,
all that kind of stop. Vincenzo Montella.
Incorrect.
Batistuta was there as well.
Is that a clue?
No. We were just discussing. Otherwise, I'd have said
stop.
The S word.
Yeah.
All right. Can I carry on?
Yeah, you carry on at your own pace, mate.
You carry on, bruv.
I played for 7 clubs in England, Italy, and Japan.
Nah, that's not helpful for me, bruv.
No.
I was one of only 2 Asian players to be named in Pele's FIFA 1.
It's Nakata.
Yeah.
Can I get the first name?
Is it Hidetoshi Nakata?
Correct! Wow. Wins.
So pleased to get off
well
the
played, Sam.
Yeah.
Lord. Only the 2nd Japanese player to appear in Serie A. So there you go.
Yeah.
He retired very early, didn't he, Nakata? Basically, he just said he fell out of love with football. It's about, what, 30, 31?
Yeah. Right. He was a good player.
Who was the Mexican who played up front for them for a short while?
I'm not sure.
Do you remember that? That's who I had in my head early on.
Blanco?
No.
Who used to do the...
No. He never played for Bolton, did he?
Oh, of course not. Oh, anyway. Hugo Sanchez.
There you go. Is it? Oh, no, we've done it. All right. Well done, Luke Moore. Thank you very much, everybody.
Well, just another reason, by the way. A good going for gold there. A very, very good set of reasons why teams like Bolton Wanderers should be protected.
Indeed.
Because they've had some amazing players down the years and a historic, proud club.
Sammy Amiobi.
Yeah.
Was it short? No, he did play. Sure, I mean, he played for Bolton.
I think he did for a bit. Yeah, sure. Well, well done to you, ladies and gentlemen, for getting through that. The preview show, of course, sponsored by Betway. It's a bloody pleasure having you with us. We'll see you on Monday. But before then, we've got Greatest Games, of course, with myself and Jonathan Wilson. Thank you very much, Luke Moore.
That was Jared Borghetti.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. Pete Donaldson, thank you.
Bye bye.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Cheers.
See ya.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Pretty young.
No, but Yonk Bang. What's a Yonk Bang? Yonk Bang.
When does he say
I
it?
Need some loving.
Is it like Shamor?
No,
Shamor.
Honestly, no. He says it's pretty young thing, but he just says it in a really...
Pretty young thing.
Yonk Bang. Pretty young thing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.